Turn to Micah tonight. Micah, I had to think about it today, whether Micah was before Jonah or after, but it's just after the book of Jonah. Micah. Micah chapter number 4. If I was going to put a title on the message tonight, it would be, "What a Day That Will Be." I hope you can know or tell and see that I'm very, very concerned about the things that are going on in our world, and I believe that some people in America they may think we're insulated, and there's just a lot that could go wrong in a heartbeat, and I don't think we should wait for the bottom to fall plumb out of everything to start praying. I think we should ask God to help us. Amen. If you read your Bible, God said He wrote the Old Testament for our admonition, for our learning. You'll find out that many times God used heathen people, heathen nations, to chastise His people because they turned their back on Him. And in America, listen to me, I know there's a remnant. Personally, I think there's only two things that's kept the judgment hand of God off of America this far. That's a remnant of God's people and our stand with Israel. And I'm going to tell you what, that stand's not what it used to be. You can just mark that down. Amen. But anyway, tonight I want to try to encourage you. It encouraged me as I read this today in the light of what's going on in current events. In Micah chapter number 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills. And the people," I want you to look at this statement, "the people shall flow into it. Verse 2, and many nations shall come and say, 'Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" I'm not finished reading yet, but what a day that will be. Look at verse 3. "And He shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." I'd like to say one more time, what a day that will be. Verse number 4, "But they shall sit every man under his vine, and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for this passage of Scripture. Thank You, God, for speaking to Micah that he might speak to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I pray now, Father, tonight that you'd clothe us in our calling and help us, because our Father, tonight we know that you can do what none other can do. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd send confusion among the Russian army. I pray, God, tonight that you would protect those people where the bombs are falling. And I pray, dear God, tonight that you'd help us in this country to do the right thing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We touched on this Sunday in the book of the Revelation in chapter number 20, and I did not know that I would be here tonight. But we're reading some verses that are describing the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say several things about this passage of Scripture tonight, if God will help me for just a few minutes, and title the message, What a Day That Will Be. First of all, I want you to see that it's a wonderful prophecy. The Word of God said, but in the last days, notice these words, it shall come to pass. In other words, beloved, we're not studying about something in this text that's already happened, but we're studying about something that's out there in the future. God said, it shall come to pass. I didn't know this until I studied this passage this time. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2 for just a moment, would you please? I had a book at one time entitled The Gospel According to Isaiah. It's a great book. I believe Isaiah paints a picture of Jesus probably as good as any of the Old Testament writers. He's the one that told us about his birth. We'll read another text from Isaiah in a little bit talking about going with this text that we're talking in tonight out of Micah. Look at chapter 2 of the book of Isaiah. The Word of God said, the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. You say, Pastor, why did you take the time to read that again? I'll tell you why. If God says something once, that's good enough. God wants us to know as his children, there's a day coming. It ain't going to look like this day. This world is not our home. Amen. And there is a day coming when our Lord Jesus Christ himself will rule and reign upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. It's prophetic. It's going to happen. It shall come to pass. A lot of people going to the book of Peter, they might say, well, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, I'll tell you where the promise of his coming is. It's in this book. And I'm going to tell you where it's at if it's in this book. It's forever settled in heaven. Everything that God has said he will do, he either has done, or you can mark it down, beloved, he will do what he has said that he will do. I invited a man to church the other day, and he said, well, I can't promise you. And I didn't fuss at him, but I begged him. The three men that put down the flooring, they all promised me they would watch that gospel video. I said, fellas, it'd be a shame. You guys do a good job and you work hard. It'd be a shame for you to miss heaven. I said, I want you to go to heaven with me. Invited them to the Easter service. And fella said, well, I can't promise. He got three young children. I said, those children need to be in the house of God. They need to know the Lord. But I'll tell you this, we have no problem promising we'll pay the bank a payment for a car. We have no problem promising we'll make a payment for a house. We have no problem promising we'll be there for a football game or a baseball game or a basketball game. I'm going to tell you, most of the time when somebody says, well, I can't promise, what they mean is, I have no intention. None of us know what tomorrow may bring. That's true. But I'll tell you what, sometimes we just don't have any intention of doing. God has every intention of doing what He said He will do. Not just intention, He will do it. Because it's marked down in the Word of God. There's a wonderful prophecy. The second thing I saw in the text is a wonderful people. I don't know about you, but I realize something tonight. Our country's got faults. Our country's got flaws. But there's not another place in the world I'd rather live than right here in America. And in America, there's not a place I'd rather live than right here in East Tennessee. That's the truth. But I'm going to tell you something that's more wonderful than a place. That's the people that God has put us in contact with, His people. There's a wonderful people. The Word of God said, the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. It shall be exalted above the hills. And the people, the Word of God said, shall flow into it. I don't know about you, but when I think about the word flow, I think about a funnel. You know what I mean? I think about just they're just pouring in. They're just pouring in. I'm going to tell you something right now. I've sat on the church parking lot before, 15 minutes before church time, and it looked like ain't nobody's coming. And all of a sudden, they just start pouring in. I like that, don't you? Amen. Amen. Well, you just wait till God opens the gates in this city. Amen. And the people of God, let's just start pouring in. Just start pouring in. Just start flowing into that city. What a blessing it's going to be. And they come, beloved, listen, it's a wonderful prophecy, but they're wonderful people. I've never met anybody. Listen, our country's got its faults and its failures. And you and I have our faults and our failures. But I'm telling you, God's people are the greatest people on the face of the earth. I love God's people. I don't have to try. It's easy for me to love God's people. They're precious to me, and they ought to be to you. I hope that they are. The Word of God said here, many nations shall come. I want you to see not only a wonderful prophecy and a wonderful people, what a day that will be when God's people get together, but a wonderful path. Look in verse 2 here, and many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Everywhere you go to Jerusalem, you're going up. Amen. You're going up. Let's go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of His ways and we will walk in His path. I believe Micah and Isaiah both, Brother Houston, got real excited right here. Because you remember, I believe it was Jeremiah that prophesied and he said, seek ye out the old path. And when you find it, he said, walk therein. But what did they say? They said, we will not walk therein. And these boys looked down to a day and went, thank God, God's people are not going to be saying, we will not walk therein, but we will walk in the path that God wants us to walk in. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's no path in the world as wonderful as the path that God has for your life and for my life. Just to be in that path and just to know, oh, the shepherd, he's got his staff. And just to know, you say, Pastor, you ever been out of the path? Help me. You ever get out of the path? Help me. And oh, thank God I've got a shepherd. Amen. He said, come here, boy. You don't belong down there in that mess. You're mine. I bought you with my blood. And you're mine. Amen. In that day, we'll see people walking in that wonderful path. And then the next thing I saw in the text, the Word of God said, we will walk in His paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the Word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Let me say this tonight. I'm not trying to say it in a mean spirit, but you might as well get used to this book if you're saved. Because we're going home, and I've done read right here, when we get home, this book's there. What would make a person think they would enjoy this book there if they don't enjoy this book here? Amen. The Word of God said here, the Word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The next thing I see in the text, not only the wonderful prophecy and the wonderful people, a wonderful path, and this is where it really lights up, there's a wonderful prince. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? The Word of God said here, and he, circle he, in verse number 3, shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against the nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I really, really, really didn't get a hold of this. Go back to Isaiah chapter number 9, I believe it is. Let me read you a text in Isaiah chapter number 9, the gospel according to Isaiah. The Word of God said in verse number 6 and in verse number 6 of chapter number 9, Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Glory to God. You say, Pastor, when are we going to have peace? I tell you, when the Prince gets here, we're going to have peace. Say amen. The Word of God said in verse 7, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the host, the Lord of hosts, shall perform this. I'm telling you, thank God these old prophets, they didn't just see the day that they were in, but they saw the day that was coming. And I believe every once in a while when God would let them see how good it's going to be, they might have stopped and said, what a day that's going to be. I'll tell you, old Jeremiah would shed them tears and weep over the people of Israel and weep over their sin. But he read over there, beloved, listen, and when he saw that Jesus was coming, there's no more war. They're going to walk in the right path. He saw, beloved, listen, he's not going to have to weep anymore. He may not have read Revelation chapter 21 when there'll be no more tears. God will dry them all up. But he knew things are not going to get worse for the children of God. They're going to get better when the Prince gets here. When the Prince gets here. I want you to think about something tonight. You think about somebody stepping on the world stage tonight that could offer the world peace. Beloved, I'm telling you, this world would eat him up. And that's exactly what's going to happen. But I'm telling you, real peace. Listen, there's going to be a deceiver come on the scene. He's Antichrist. But the real peace is coming from the real prince. Not the prince in the power of the air, but the prince of princes. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus tonight. There's a wonderful prophecy. There's a wonderful people. There's a wonderful path. There's a wonderful prince. But I want to say this tonight in verse number 3. They'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I'm going to tell you, God just described a wonderful peace. You think about that. I have something, if I can find it. Let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, I found it. I have something that I printed off a while ago I want to read to you. A group of academics and historians has compiled this startling information. Since 3600 B.C., the world has known only 292 years of peace. Since 3600 B.C., that's when they started the records. During this period, there have been 14,351 wars. This was written in 92. Lots went on since 92. 14,351 wars, large and small. in which 3.64 billion people have been killed. The value of the property, I want you to listen, this is what got a hold of me. The value of the property, you think about what's going on in Ukraine right now. The value of the property destroyed is equal to a golden belt around the world, 97.2 miles wide and 33 feet thick. That's the value of the property that's been destroyed in war since 3600. The reminder ended in economic collapse of the countries involved. What I'm trying to tell you, beloved, listen tonight. You and I, we've got a book in front of us. We've got a Savior that lives on the inside of us. And we shouldn't be walking through this world without hope, because, Brother Junior, we know this world ain't our home. The Word of God said, they that say such things confess that they're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Abraham was looking just over that next hill, just over that next hill, for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. A few years ago, a Dutch professor took time to calculate the cost of an enemy soldier's death at different epochs in history. He estimated that during the reign of Julius Caesar, to kill an enemy soldier cost less than $1. At the time of Napoleon, it had considerably inflated to more than $2,000. At the end of the First World War, it had multiplied several times to reach the figure of some $17,000. During the Second World War, it was about $40,000, and in Vietnam in 1970, to kill an enemy soldier cost the United States $200,000. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say men's hearts are evil. But when you study it out, war just don't make sense. Well, God knows, beloved, there's coming a day. There's coming a day. Listen, you can say whatever you want to. Putin can level Ukraine even with the ground. I'm saying if that were to happen, I don't believe it will, but if that were to happen, he still didn't win. We sing a song, Brother Junior, I'm a winner either way. I'm going to tell you something, and I'd tell him to his face, he's a loser either way. He's a loser either way. He can't win. He can't win. And you and I can't lose. We ought to get a hold of that. Say amen. We have Christ in our heart, a home in heaven. We'll rule and reign with Him. And I praise God, He's coming again. A wonderful peace. And then look at verse 4. There's a wonderful prosperity. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? They shall sit every man under his vine, under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. This is speaking of a prosperous time. Beloved, listen, when Jesus is ruling and reigning, ain't nobody going to be starving to death. Amen. Ain't nobody going to be killing for a dollar or for a hunk of gold or a hunk of silver or a barrel of oil. Thank God, Jesus is coming. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. Then the last thing I want you to see, I'll call your attention to, in verse number 5, for all people will walk everyone in the name of his God. In studying this out, this is talking about the now, people walking in the name of their God. It's a little old G. But then, when Jesus comes, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. There's a wonderful promise. I don't know about you, but that line in song, it's one of my favorite lines. This robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout my passing through the air. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour prayer. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about, a wonderful promise? Look what the Bible said here. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Brother Sam, you or I will never be out of the path again. We'll have no flesh to battle. No world to battle. No Satan to battle. Because, beloved, all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. How many's looking forward to that day? God didn't just say it once. He told Micah. Micah told us. He told Isaiah. Isaiah told us. He put it on Pastor's heart to come tonight and try to encourage you. I'm going to tell you something. Horizontal vision. Brother Preston, it'll get us down. We better look up. Our redemption is drawing nigh. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight.